Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I want to talk with you today about Holy Spirit today. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, it says, the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of Holy Spirit be with you all. The love of God. How many of you know he said, if you love me, then obey my commandments. Amen? How many of you know the emphasis is not there on the obeying the commandments as much as it is loving me? I believe that when you love him, it's a natural thing to obey his commandments. But then it talks about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, there was some revelation came forth. You might want to get a hold of Dawn in the office and buy the CDs. Or we're going to do a podcast of the conference over there. Robert Henderson knocked it out. And we're going to get on the calendar very soon with him and Beverly, the seer from South Africa, and bring them here next year so that they can teach. But it was great. Don Lynch was just, but there was a lot came forth about the grace of God over there. God's grace empowering you. But what I want to zero in on today is the communion of Holy Spirit. Do you know, can I just debunk something? I think it's very important to set aside time. I believe it's very important to give him 15. You know, if you don't have that app from Dutch Sheets, you can go either to the Droid store, I don't know what it's called, or the Apple store. Download, it's free, and you get updates. You know, we also have one here, a CityGate app, and we've had a little technical and been able to send out encouragement with it recently or prayer need, but they're working on it. We're getting it going. We'll get it going again, but it's good to set aside that time. It's good to press in, but how many of you realize you don't just have to have a prayer closet to be able to commune with Holy Spirit? You can commune with Holy Spirit anytime. You know, one of the greatest places I commune with Holy Spirit, which I ain't been there much here lately, is in front of that fireplace we built on our patio. Man, I can just sit there and just the overshadowing glory of God will just come on me. And just revelation begins to pop into my heart. And he begins to speak and he begins to reveal. And so today I want to take this message. I want to tell you the purpose of my message. I want to get you comfortable with understanding that Holy Spirit doesn't have to make us weird. You know, Matt didn't do the song this morning, but Matt wrote a song in the last week, and he'll be doing it. It's just an incredible song. I'm just telling you, the DNA of God is on it big time. But one of the lines, and I'll probably butcher it, but he talked about, you know, you go into the river and you get refreshed and all that, but you got to come out on the bank to cook the fish and eat it. You know, I ain't never seen anybody out, you know, fly fishing up to here in the water, and they catch a fish and just start eating him right there. And so I believe very much in the river of God. But how many of you know it's not just all about, and Lord, I've spent my carpet time. When we did the first 72 hours of worship here at this place, I was there, right there, all but 4 hours of the 72 hours. I stayed in this building. My wife finally told me, said, a shower would make you more pleasant. And so the presence of God. So I believe in all of that. But let me tell you what. People need to see reality. They need to see something tangible. You know, Ezekiel saw the face of a lion. I would love to have a church of size that I could have come in today and started preaching with a lion face over. And then he saw the face of an eagle. And then he saw the face of an ox and all of those. You know, ox speaks of a servant. Eagle speaks of an overcomer. A lion speaks of a warrior. But then he saw the face of a man. Let me tell you what people on the outside need to see in you. They need to see your humanity. You know, been a few adjustments, Michael Rush, a couple. You know, when you adopt two children as they have and bring them into your home of the age they are, you're very blessed, and these children were sent from God, but there are adjustments. And so the workers that he works with, when they see his frailty, or, you know, when he's frustrated one day when he goes to work, people can identify with that. And I think the church has learned how to be hypocritical outside of the building, and that we put on images that we don't want to know them. We're struggling. And God is looking for a people to just become transparent. And if we're going to flow with Holy Spirit today and really see the move of God, I want to tell you, there's a move of God building. I'm just telling you, it's building tremendously in the earth. Are you hearing me? And so we need to learn how to flow. Go with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. I'm going to begin in verse 8. And just listen to these words. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send?" I heard some of my message and some of the words that Michael was saying today and some of the exhortation he was giving us. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, "Here am I, send me." How many of you, that's the cry of your heart? Now, can I share something with you? I want to bust your bubble. That's not a platform at the front of the church. That's not a pulpit. That's not a ministry called He Is Risen. That's you being who you are 24/7. That's you being the hands and the heart and the eyes and the ears of Christ, that when you're out among people who have no hope, that you can instill into them a hope that will cause them to rise in their expectation. For those of you visiting, I have four angels that travel with me, show up where I'm at, or I show up where they're at. I don't know. And I named the first two, and I just had somebody write me a long discourse and told me, he said, "You ought to be ashamed for naming your angels Thelma and Louise for two women who were lesbian and committed suicide." And I didn't. I named them Tina and Louise. Okay? But anyway, and, you know, they just told me that angels don't have gender. And I said, "Yeah, I know that. That's the reason God called them Michael and Gabriel." Come on. But then two more were released to me, and I named the last two Hope and Expectation. Hope and Expectation. And I want to tell you, if you are really communing with Holy Spirit, you're filled with hope. Amen? I've got great hope. We're not quite yet here at this church to that place, but I'm just telling you, there's a tipping point that will come in 2016 to where this house will step into being endued with power. Please hear me. I'm not in any way setting up what God is going to do here above any other congregation in the area. Are you hearing me? I'm just simply telling you, we're going to move into a release of dunamis, a release of the authority of God. One of the nights in Brazil, I might have mentioned this last week, but when I was in Brazil just a couple weeks ago, one of the nights there, just I was down, winding down, closing out the service, and I brought a young woman up just to pray over her, and she began to demonically manifest. And I mean, you know, anybody remember a toy called Jack in the Box? How many of you like that? I mean, I did, because I was always trying to figure out which crank was going to cause him to pop out. You know, I didn't know I was trying to be prophetic, but it was, you know. And I mean, it was like when I brought her up and she began to manifest demonically, about 30-some people began to all across the congregation. And I mean, I was ready to go to my room, you know. I'm not complaining, but it was... He'd get down to 89 every night. The room had no air condition. Thank God it had a fan that would peel my skin, though, man. I'm telling you, I slept right in front of it. And we spent the next 3 to 3.5 hours dealing with demonic manifestation. Now, let me share something with you. This is not boasting in my authority, but you know what triggered that? The authority of God. And we're going to see people begin to be to manifest and to begin to be delivered. And this is not in any way a slam of what Jeanette does, but it's not going to be during a cleansing conference. The dunamis of God and the exousia of God, which is the word for authority, is coming and being released on an unprecedented level. We're not going to have reference to what God is doing in the earth in the days to come. We are going to see a move of Holy Spirit today. There's a phrase that I use. It's actually in one of the translations of the Bible, but I don't remember which one it is. But I use it a lot. If you read me on Facebook, I talk about, and Robert Henderson is releasing present day truth. Anybody ever heard a preacher say this? Well, back in Bible times. Is that as foolish to you as that? And I've said it in the past. You know, or back during the days of the apostles. Or back during times that signs and wonders. We're always referring back to something. I want to tell you, we're in the days of the Bible. We're in the days of the apostles. We're in the days of signs and wonders. We're in the days of the release of the authority and the power of God. We're in the days of God doing exceedingly abundantly above anything we can think or ask. But he's looking for someone who will say, send me. Deborah, when you're sitting with someone and that caregiving anointing that you carry and how God provides to you, you're there on kingdom business. You're there to release, listen to me, righteousness, peace, and joy. Jonathan, wherever you work, you're there to release righteousness, right relationship, peace, and joy. We are kingdom people. And we have an idea, a mindset, more than an idea, a mindset in the Western church that we've got to wait on God to do everything. There are some things that God's waiting on you to do. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth said it this way, very powerful man of God. You know, he only became an apostle of faith and a hero after he was dead. He was not liked at all. He was very rough, very gruff. He was known to hit people in their stomach and tumors would disappear. Amen. He was not, you know, how many of you know most heroes are not heroes when they're here on earth? They only become heroes after they're gone. But he paid a price. But he said this statement. It's recorded that he said that. He said, if the Spirit doesn't move me, I'm going to move the Spirit. I've been in real hard meetings. I preached one time outside of Myrtle Rouge, Louisiana, in a church, and I called Susan after service, and I prayed the Lord would come back during the service. It was so tough. I'm telling you, it was tough. But one of the things that I do to move the Spirit in tough places, I'll just say, okay, I'm gonna pray and prophesy to some people. I don't have a word. God's not shown me anything, but I'm putting a demand upon the Spirit. See, how many of you notice that what you focus on is what God does? We could turn this service into a forgiveness service. I saw it this summer in Arizona in a conference I did, and it turned in, and a guy came to the front and said to someone in the congregation, I just want you to know I've mistreated you. I've spoke ill of you. I'm talking about You know, in a conference, you normally don't see, but we, you can set it on healing. You can set it on the prophetic. You can set it on dream interpretation. What you focus on is what God does. God doesn't just come in seasons for one thing. He comes according to the hunger. I've been loving to say this because it upsets people. I don't love to upset people, but I love to say this. It's said in most books you read that every revival began with prayer. I believe every revival begins with hunger. Maybe even begins with hunger and desperation. I love Evan Roberts' prayer. You know, he led the Welch revival for a while. He said, "Lord, bend me." David said, you know, "Create in me a clean heart." Isn't it interesting that God said he was a man after his own heart? King Asa said of him, he was a man who had a perfect heart all of his days. But in another text, it says about Asa, King Asa said, but he did foolishly and made wars. Send me. Can you say that to the Lord? Send me. Can I tell you a better way of saying it in modern day? Lord, I thank you, you've sent me to St. Jude. I thank you that you've sent me to this. I thank you you're sending me to Indonesia, Malaysia, where I don't ever remember where you're going. I thank God you're sending me. God has got his hand upon you as his people. It said, "Here I am, send me." And then he said, verse 9, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed." God has placed you wherever you're at so that Holy Spirit can work through you today. Quit despising your job. Quit despising, you know, maybe you're not, but value and be thankful for what you have. God is a promoter, but he doesn't promote until you appreciate. I say it sometimes this way. You'll never be prepared for the season that's coming if you despise the season you're in. See, some people can't see what's coming. I see what's coming. I'm not boasting. Let me tell you what's coming. It's good. It's a move of God. Let me just tell you, God is about, I believe in 2016, God's going to move full blown into the ministry of interruption. Wouldn't it be great that the Spirit of God just fell on St. Jude? And for 10 days, nothing but prayer went on at that place. And then the next 10 days, every child there went home healed. Yeah. Now, if you can't believe for this, then just keep loving God and keep walking, because that he wants to give you a transfusion of hope and expectation for greater works to be done. Kay Vernon was with us at the conference, and she, of course, went up to City Gate in Dyersburg this morning. But she has a cousin by the name of, I think it's Richard Green. And he went to Albania. I've been to Albania. Don, you been to Albania? Yeah. You know, it actually was known as one of the last atheistic nations in the earth. And I mean, I saw things there I just couldn't believe. And Richard goes to the hospital and he asked the hospital staff and everything, said, "Can I go and pray for the sick?" It wasn't a large hospital, it had about 30 rooms. And he went room to room to room. And of course, there were sometimes 3 and 4 people in every room. And he prayed. And the next day he went back. He felt, you know, he just felt he wanted to go back and pray for some more people, pray for them again. And he went up to the reception and he said, can I pray for the people again in broken English said, no. He said, well, you allowed me yesterday to pray for them. Why can't I pray today? And she said, because they all went home, hospital empty. Now, the sad part is, it happened, you know, that's not a good way of saying it, but we need it to happen here. Wouldn't it be great if USA Today tomorrow, when USA Today comes out tomorrow, on the headlines of it said, DeSoto Baptist Hospital empty. How many of you think I'm crazy? Okay, I don't care if you do. Anybody know who John Wimber was? Anybody ever heard the story about him? He was going through the L.A. airport, and there's a guy dressed, had a big old placard from his neck all the way down the floor. And he was walking towards John and looked kind of strange, and this placard said, I'm a fool for Christ. And old John kind of, you know, we do what we avoid those kind of people. You know, he kind of got over there, and he walked on by him, and he thought, yeah, buddy, you really are. And he turned around and looked at him this way, and he had a placard on the back, and he said, whose fool are you? Crazy. God is looking for people that just will allow him to bend them, that just will surrender, that will say, Lord, send me, who will be the hands, the eyes, the heart, the working of God in the earth. Now, let's go to another scripture. Are you with me? In Acts 28, verse 25. It says, so when they did not agree among themselves, they departed after Paul had said one word. The Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers, saying, go to this people. Remember, this is the same text. Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes have they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ear, lest they shall understand with their hearts and turn so that I shall hear them. I want to drill this in again. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it in the epistles. What I want you to catch is God is looking for you to be his hands, his heart, his eyes, his presence right where you're at. We've got to debunk this theory, this separation of clergy and laity. You know, I've never studied the root word of the word clergy, but the word laity was a Latin word which means idiot or unable to learn. And that's the way that it came. You know, pulpits got higher and higher and higher, and the separation between the people, because it was nothing about fulfilling Ephesians 4:11, where he said, I gave gifts unto the church, some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be shepherds, and some to be teachers, for the aligning, equipping, empowering, perfecting, maturing of the saints to do the works of the ministry. I know some of you get tired of hearing me say this, but we are in a penalty phase, because the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers are the coaches, and they're out on the field doing the work. I didn't get to hear the game yesterday, and my friend Ian informed me that Arkansas lost by 1 point. Now, some of you are glad about that. I'm going to pray for your soul. But how many of you know if the coach from Arkansas had run out on the field and tried to catch the ball and run for a touchdown, there would have been a flag on the play and there would have been a big penalty. And this morning, you saw the players come up and lay hands on the sick. You saw the moving of God. It's time that we release you. We want you to know here at CityGate, we're building a family of God that know how to work as an army together so that we can get the work done. It's not about, you know, Rodney, wherever you work, God has planted you there to bring the presence of God. And can I just share with you, you don't have to get all spooky, spiritual, and religious and all that. You know, just share with him, the people around you, the story, your story. Now go with me. I got two more scriptures, and we're going to close this message out. And we've got a very important matter we got to deal with today. We got a baby dedication. I love baby dedications. Amen. Go with me to the book of Joel, chapter 2 and verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward. After what? And it shall come to pass afterward. After what? And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That's Muslim flesh, that's Jewish flesh, that's atheist flesh, that's Unitarian flesh, that's deist, that's whoever it might be, agnostic flesh. God is pouring his spirit out on all flesh. Susan and I had a great four-hour meal with a lady who was raised in Pakistan, or born in Pakistan. As a ministry, go back there. In Pakistan, there's five different provinces, like five different states. Part of Pakistan used to be part of India. And in 1947, the same year that Israel became a nation, Pakistan became a nation. And she was raised in one of the provinces there that is Christian. So we don't have a proper worldview in America. We don't understand this. Her great-grandfather was a Christian preacher. She is like a fourth generation of Christianity, and she works there, her and her husband. And I'm going to bring her in here probably the last weekend of January and let her educate us some on Islam and how to minister and how to be wise. Not any way to talk about the fear of it, but the wisdom of understanding. I rode with a taxi driver the other day in Atlanta that was Muslim right after the bombing in France, and I engaged him, and he said this one statement to me. He said, "You make sense to me." And I began to talk to him because I didn't talk to him on the level he thought that I was going to tell him how wrong he was. I began to talk to him on a level where it began to draw his heart into thinking differently from how he's been thinking. And we want to bring this lady here. I want to become more educated. I want to understand. You're going to be working more and more with people of the Muslim faith, because they're coming here. And it shall come to pass out that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Are you hearing me? And on my men servants and maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. In the original text, Book of Joel is actually written in Arabic. It actually says, and it shall come to pass after that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh as your sons and daughters prophesy, as your old men dream dreams, as your young men see visions. If you would go, I could carry over in the book of Acts, and for time's sake, I'm not, and we find the same scripture there. Remember when 3,000 were added to the church? Peter said, "These are not drunk as you suppose." And he quotes from the book of Joel. And there's one little thing different there in the book of Acts from the book of Joel. It says he will pour out of his spirit. Where is the Spirit of God today? What? In you. If God's going to pour his spirit out, he's got to pour it out of you and I. It's not a weird thing. It's not a a strange thing. It is peculiar. But that doesn't have to mean that it becomes all warped and weird. God is seeking to use you, Jerry Barrett, to pour His Spirit out. Hope He's seeking to use you to pour His Spirit out. He will, that I will pour out My Spirit on all flesh as your sons and daughters prophesy, as your old men dream, as your young men see visions. Are you ready for Spirit to be poured out of you? You don't have to go up and lay hands on people for the Spirit to be poured out. Someone said to me recently, said, when you talk, something stirs in me. Anybody ever knows that when you bring the positive end of the magnet together, it creates an energy force and tries to put, there's a stirring. God is calling mankind unto Him, but He wants us to know that Holy Spirit is our partner today. Holy Spirit wants to work through us. I love to tell people, you want a healing ministry? It's just as simple, isn't it, Ira? You know that. One hand here, one hand here. But getting better than that, can I change it? It's not about having a healing ministry. It's about getting people healed. When you'll shift from just wanting a ministry out of something, which points on you, and you'll start focusing on people, you'll start seeing more people healed. I got news for you. You can't heal anybody. Don't say that too loud. But God, through you, can heal anybody. Both times when I saw the dead raised, I'm just telling you, there wasn't any faith in my heart. I didn't feel something. We just did. In fact, one of the times, somebody with me began to pray in tongues in front of people that knew me, and it was like that didn't know I was a tongue talker. I've come out of the closet. I used to be a closet tongue talker. Ure basaka. I speak in tongues more than you all. But I didn't feel something. I didn't feel faith. I didn't feel a stirring. I didn't feel. I just did what I knew to do, and God did His part. When Evan Roberts said, "Bend me, O Lord." What it's about is, God, I yield to you. I surrender to you. Not my will, but your will be done. Last scripture. John 14, verse 12. Most assuredly. Can I bring that down into Mississippi, Mid-South language? Okay, most assuredly. You can count on what I'm about to say. You can carry to the bank about what I'm about to say. That's what Holy Spirit was saying through the writer John. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. But here's the key thing. And greater works than these he will do. Because I go to my Father, and whoever asks in my name, that I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Greater works. Last time I checked my resume, I'm coming up a little short. It's recorded of my pattern son. That's what Jesus was called, the pattern son. He's the one that is our example. He's the one that we're to look to. He's the one that we're to learn from. The last time that I looked at my resume, I couldn't put in my resume what he had in his resume, because in his resume it said he went about healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. But yet we have a promise here from God's word, and he cannot lie, that you're going to do greater works. And you're going to do greater works. And you're going to do greater works. And Don, you're going to do greater work. Don, you're going to do greater work. Michael, you're going to do greater works. I had a dream about you. And you were on foreign soil and you were laying hands on people. And blind eyes were opening. Deaf ears were opening. And the Lord wants you to know the struggles and disappointments and abandonment and rejection and everything you've gone through. It's caused you to grab hold of God like never before. And the Lord said, watch and see, daughter of Zion. Watch and see, handmaiden of the Lord. Watch and see if I don't use your hands to bring glory to my name, says the Lord. Watch and see, even when you set your foot upon foreign soil, that those who have rejected you in the past are going to receive you in the future. Those who would not listen to you in the past are going to come and ask of your counsel in the future. The Lord said, get ready and watch and see, daughter. Watch and see what I'm about to do. This is not in any way to manipulate you, but the Lord, after I had the dream, I was talking to him about you. And, you know, we've never really communicated at all. But this is what he said. You tell her she's a daughter of this house. You tell her that I brought her here to cause her to take root downward so she can bear fruit upward. And when you first came into this place, you kept your head down. You know, to me, you were somewhat downtrodden and beaten down. But I've noticed that your countenance is changing. It's not about this house. It's about you pressing into God. But it's also about you being obedient. So you get ready for healings to begin to come. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
How many of you are believing that anybody here feel stirring in your heart as you got that word, that word's for you? Okay, reach and get it. See how we limit God? We hear a word like that and when we hear it, we think, oh, that's great. They got a word. I'd love to have one. You just did. Why, you know, how many of you would desire for a word, not to get a word like that, but for a word like that to come true in your life? There's a difference. Well, Psalms says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll reach in and place his desires in your heart. Amen. See, I believe that when you desire for a word like that to come forth, I believe it's because God reached in. And he placed a desire inside of you. Greater work. What are the greater works? You know, it doesn't have to be raising the dead. Can I tell you a greater work? Loving the unlovable. Amen. You ever been around these people? They can just love people so easy. They just have a grace, empowering grace that they can just love, you know. That's greater works. God gives people grace. I have a real heart for those who struggle with drug addiction and prescription drug, especially addiction, because I overcome that when I got born again. And you know what? Because I have a compassion for those that are struggling with that, there's an anointing in my life, and I see a lot of people. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, comforting those who are in any trouble. Well, I want to help those that, you know, but I'm not going to work. No, any trouble with the comfort that you were comforting in your own trouble. Anybody ever had your marriage healed? Then there's an anointing for you to minister to people to see their marriage healed. Anybody ever had your body healed? Anybody ever had, you know, whatever the struggle is, when you become an overcomer, you don't just overcome it in your life. You begin to overcome it. The scripture says, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? I actually preached on this a while back. But what the actual original language says is much different. Those two words, no, are two different words. Look it up. You got a strong, I mean, it's so easy on the Google today. Just Google it and look it up. But what it actually says there, the best translation that I can find says this: Jesus, I know, and Paul, I'm getting to know. You know that every time you're willing to be obedient and lay hands on somebody, you're becoming known in the second heaven? Wigglesworth one day didn't wake up and demons trembled at him. He had to be obedient. You know, when Lester Summerall went to visit him, Lester showed up with a newspaper under his arm and Smith wouldn't let it come in his house. He made him lay it down outside and Lester went in. And that's not just written in books. We had Lester come to our church and he told me some of these stories. In other words, Smith paid a price to walk with God to the degree. I do want to close with this. The next season of breakthrough will belong to those who are willing to pay the cost. The move of God that's coming in the earth is not going to be brought to you on a silver platter. In fact, it could be that it comes some of us in this room or some of us in this nation, our head ends up on a silver platter like John the Baptist. It could be. Do you think we're exempt? When Samuel would show up somewhere, the kings of old would say, "Is this not he who troubles Israel?" I'm not going to release a word, but I was sent a word about a Bob Jones mantle. I was given a word when I left Atlanta the other day. But I'm just telling you, I believe that seer anointing is going to come right upon you. Right upon you. Francine, right upon you. Right upon you, young lady. Woman of God, upon you. That when you speak, it's going to have such power and such effect and such significance that those that have a form of godliness but deny the power of God are going to fear and tremble. They're either going to be converted. Now, I'm talking about some of them are born again, but they're going to be converted or they're going to walk away. It's time that the demonstration of our words come forth in power. Years ago, a wolf came into Dyersburg, a man. Claimed to be a preacher. Kind of settled into our congregation. Finally moved his mother there. She was quite elderly. Wouldn't work. Found out he was going to some of my sheep and telling them that God said they were supporting. And his mother passed away. And he asked me, he was only going to have a graveside service. Will you do? I said, I would. And at the end of the service that day, the funeral director came to me and said, I need you to sign these papers. I said, what are these papers about? He said, well, I don't want to say his name. He said he was one of the elders at your church, and we were to charge his funeral to your church. I said, no. And I knew the funeral director, I was known, I was there for 15 years, I had a good name, and I said, look, this is not true, but if I need to pay this to not lose my name, I will do so, but I do not feel responsible for this. You should have called me with that. And he said, I saw the look in your eye, I know that you're being honest with me, and we will not expect you to pay it. And so I didn't make a scene there, but I went and confronted the man on the issue. and he began to pull people out of my church because he knew how to prophesy. How many of you know you can learn to prophesy? But all of his words were always about money and always about things that, you know, that people want to hear. But they weren't the words of the Lord. And I had another minister visiting, traveling minister, and I said, I need you to go and be a witness with me. And I went to this guy's house, and he came to his back door, and he saw me through the door, and he said, I'm not talking to you. I said, you don't have to. I'm going to talk to you. He said, I don't want to hear anything he's got to say. I said, well, you need to listen. I said, within 1 week, a U-Haul truck will be backed up to this house and you'll leave this city because you will not bring confusion to my city. You will not pull sheep out. You will not deceive them. You will not be a charlatan. You will not be a schemer in my city. God has set me here as an apostle in the gate of this city. I've paid a price up until now, and you're going. I bless you with an invitation and an opening to go somewhere else. 5 days later, a U-Haul truck backed up. Because somebody in El Paso sent him a check and said, I believe we need you here. Time out. You say, why do you do that? I want you to get something. Your words are just that powerful. Can I tell you a prayer we need to be praying? We need to pray that every hidden thing be made manifest in Washington, D.C. Can I tell you one you really need to pray? I'm just declaring, the Clintons are not Teflon and they're not bulletproof, and the things that are hidden will come to the light. Amen. Let it be known, it's on tape, send it to the IRS. I'm against Hillary Clinton winning that election. I'm against her running. I want something to happen that she doesn't get to run. So what I told about that U-Haul and all that, was that the truth?
Absolutely.
The guy that was with me, I'm not going to say his name. He's been here in services, but he's not preached here. He told me when he's through, he said, you are wrong. I said, what do you mean I was wrong? He said, You shouldn't have done that. You just should have loved him and tolerated him. And I said, no, God sent me here to cause confusion to flee, not to come. But when the guy loaded up 5 days later and left, the other guy called me back and he said, wow. He said, I thought you were just speaking. No, I was speaking what God's will was into that situation. Amen. Father, I bless your people with an ever-increasing awareness and knowledge of the working of Holy Spirit daily. Not just in their life, but through them. Give them that ever-increasing awareness. Let them feel that nudge from Holy Spirit when they're to speak to someone or possibly not speak to someone. Don't let them speak a word out of due season, but let them speak every word of the kingdom in due season. God, I declare that increase is coming to the kingdom. I declare Memphis, I declare the Mid-South, and Memphis, Tennessee will become a city known for signs and wonders. I declare that Memphis, Tennessee will become a refuge city where people flee from other parts of the country to come and be healed. I declare that the signs and wonders that God has intended. I just have to go back and tell you, there was a time in this area right around the New Madrid earthquake that there was famine all across the Mid-South. There was dry, everything was famine, was dry. There was no crop. But up in Egypt, Egypt is a place just north of Memphis. They had corn out of abundance. People traveled from hundreds of miles to come and get corn here. And I'm telling you, there was a precedent set then. And God is going to establish Memphis, Tennessee in this area for a place to where people will come. I'm all for St. Jude and Le Bonheur's and Campbell's Clinic and all the great hospitals, and I'm thankful for them. But I'm telling you, it's going to be that the presence of God comes to this place so strong. People are going to travel here.